Hi, Stephanie and Jeremy. This is Stephanie Coleman from Southern California. And I wanted to send you a quick message about the RVing lifestyle and what it's meant for our family. We got into RVing about 2 years ago. We started with renting and camping with friends and family and just fell in love with it. I grew up camping in a tent, and some of my best, fondest, and funniest memories from my childhood happened at the campground. With three young boys, my husband and I knew that it would be a great way for us to create memories for our children and really just spend one-on-one time. And that really has been the biggest life changer for us, is the ability to be able to get away, do it in our home on wheels, feel completely comfortable, and just be able to spend time together, whether it's taking a hike, playing a game, or just sitting around the campfire. It truly has been an amazing bonding experience for us and our young boys. And we're so excited to know that we're creating memories for them that they hopefully can carry through their adulthood and as they become parents with their own children. So thank you for putting out some amazing content that has really influenced and helped us take our camping adventures to the next level. We really appreciate it. And thank you for all that you do.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking to Kate Dunbar about a famous American travel destination, the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. From Louisville to Lexington, this region is chock full of history and some fabulous distillery tours.
Kate visited this amazing location with her family and is here to tell us where to eat and drink and all of the fun things to do.
You might think the Kentucky Bourbon Trail is only a bucket list item for those people who know the difference between wheat, rye, small batches, and blends. But we know that this can be a fun trip for the whole family. You are listening to episode number 222, 6 days on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail with Kate Dunbar.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, 6 days on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail with Kate Dunbar, which is like the greatest episode title of all time, I think. I'm very excited for this one myself. It's time for us to dive into a sponsored message, and then we'll come back with another great camping activity, another activity that really just pairs well with RV travel. But before we dive in, a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, to Thetford, to Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops, and to Truma, and to our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
Well, we have, count them, 3 trips planned to Jellystone
I'm
this
so
year.
Excited, and I just can't hide it.
And I want to say that we have a couple of different types, right? So we're going to be visiting in Jellystone over Memorial Day weekend, and that's the perfect time, a 3-day weekend for us. We love that kind of a visit to a Jellystone, because really on those holiday weekends, what do you want to do? You just want to like go somewhere and stay put,
you
right?
Want those 2 full days of camping.
Yeah.
Like we just got back from our season opener, and it was a 2-night trip, and it just didn't feel long enough. So those 3-day weekends are really, really sweet. So it's time to start thinking about booking like a Labor Day weekend at Jellystone Park.
Absolutely. And I want to tell you something else. It's time to start thinking of our other weekend trip to a Jellystone is going to be a Halloween weekend in the fall. And I know it seems crazy. We're here in the spring. I will tell you that people on our Facebook groups will post, I just tried to get a Halloween weekend at such and such Jellystone and it's sold out.
Well, it would stink to wait till like September and try and book one and then not be able to get in.
Yeah,
so now's the time.
Yeah, if you've never experienced one, if you've never had that real fun in the fall in September and October on those Halloween weekends at Jellystone, they're legendary. We haven't been in, I think it's been 2 years, and we're itching to get into
a Halloween weekend. And it's like the new 4th of July for a lot of like campgrounds like Jellystone's. I mean, it's like these are big weekends.
It's big. It's fun. Your kids will have nonstop fun the entire time you're there. So go to jellystonepark.com to make a reservation at a Jellystone Park near you.
So let's talk about becoming a local beverage connoisseur. When we travel in the RV, we really do like to shop local in general. And I think one of the ways that plays out is we like to find the good craft coffee in any given region. We like to find the breweries. You might like to find a winery or a distillery. And it's just, it's part of experiencing a locality. It's part of like getting to know the people in a region and understanding that region and not just like going to Starbucks everywhere you go.
Well, let's be honest. This is definitely something that's exploded, you know, in the past decade or so. This is not something that forever people have been traveling and saying, oh, where's the coffee roaster for this, you know, little downtown? It has really become a super big thing. I mean, breweries, craft breweries are opening up everywhere. There used to be a couple of locations around the country where it was big. And now really this is booming in a lot of even smaller college towns. It's really something that has developed. And I think it's worth paying attention to, even if you're not particularly into that type of thing. You don't have to be a huge fan of craft beer to enjoy going to some local breweries while you're around.
Totally true. And the point you're making about it getting bigger, it's more easily accessible for RV travel because it's not just big urban areas that have craft roasteries or distilleries. It's also some smaller cities and some smaller towns. Like when we went up to Brattleboro in Vermont, for instance, that's a great town for RVing. There's lots of campgrounds around, but it has all these things as well. So for those of us that don't just kind of go camping and hang out for the weekend, but actually like to explore a region, this is definitely something you should put at the top of your list.
Now, one of the things that's important to note is that ironically, these kinds of places can be more family friendly and pet friendly than, say, the typical diner or restaurant that you might visit. So, I mean, that's really nice to know is that a lot of these craft breweries, a lot of these wineries specifically organize themselves around sort of family experience. So you're welcome to go there with food, with a picnic, with a cooler full of like lunch. And yes, if there's one person that enjoys wine in the family or two, you can enjoy that. And the kids oftentimes can play cornhole on the lawn, or they have all these other board games in the breweries a lot of the time inside. So they're really developing that way with this twist.
And Kate certainly found some of that on the Bourbon Trail as well. And to do that little bit of research ahead of time and find a place where you could go to a distillery, you could go to a craft roaster, and there's some things right around for the kids to do as well, could keep everybody happy.
Absolutely. And ask the locals where their favorite ones are too, because sometimes the ones that have gotten the biggest press aren't necessarily the local favorites. We all know that. So it's really nice to say you're shopping in a downtown, ask them, you know, what the nearby place is to go. I know some of our favorites that we've stumbled on in Traverse City, we went to the Filling Station, which was right downtown, right near an old train line. And they had homemade pizzas that were delicious and these great beers. And all the kids would run around in the playground that was right across the tracks.
It was like a community garden right there.
Yep.
And the Traverse City Library was there. And there was like a walk on the water. So it really made for a lovely day for all of us, for the whole family.
We also tried the Jolly Pumpkin out there, which was fun. And then the Sick and Twisted Brewery in Hill City. We talked about that on our South Dakota episode. That was such a nice setup with the high top tables and the board games and the checkers and everything. And it was just a totally comfortable
place. That
place
was awesome. And just a caveat here, we did point out in the episode on South Dakota that we did this, like if your kids can't read, you're good to go at Sick and Twisted. But if your kids can read, there's some inappropriate
They're
things
gonna
on
ask
the signage.
You questions.
I wish they weren't as Sick and Twisted at
yeah.
Sick and Twisted, because honestly, it was super, I mean, that's the irony. It was super family friendly. Otherwise.
Right. And then I was just remembering, we also love the Next Door Gastropub in Port Angeles, Washington. It's awesome place after we spent a morning hiking in the park, and we went there and it was delicious food combined with some of the great local brew options that were around there. So those are just some highlights that we've experienced. But don't forget about food markets too when you're traveling. So for example, like of course everybody knows about Pike Place, right, in Seattle, or the Reading Terminal Market in Philly, or the Chelsea Market in New York City. But a lot of other places, like you mentioned Brattleboro before, have these local cheese factories or farm-to-table places where you can go and you can get some grass-fed beef on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Well, and some of those places actually will sell local craft roasted coffee there as well in those little shops.
Yeah, so it's really interesting to just find out what the local specialty is. Just do a little digging and find out what food's grown there, what, you know, drink options have popped up. I never expected there to be the kind of winery scene in the Finger lakes before we went. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is really something that people do when they go there. And a little bit of poking around in advance can kind of open something up and you can go, oh my gosh, let's go on a syrup, you know, a maple tapping tour here.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, we had a great.
Well, in New Jersey, like we've always said, or at least I think you agree with me on this, Steph, that our best region for RVing is Cape May. I mean, we think because there's just a lot of great campgrounds there. There's also a pretty cool winery scene down in Cape May.
Yeah. Yep, and they have a brewery down there too now. So.
And if you go to Cape Cod, don't forget to go to Beanstalk. That yes. is amazing. It's right around the corner from Atlantic Oaks Campground.
And the last thing I would do is I would just say, you know, if you're going to a region with a specialty, you know, quote unquote, like that's their specialty, think of it almost like a game to find the best of that for you. And do like, so we've done barbecue where we've eaten a bunch of the different places in a certain, you know, location, or tacos or lobster rolls or chowder or gumbo, whatever the specialty is, you know, find three or four of the famous places and try them all while you're there.
You made a great point before that I just want to emphasize a little bit. Sometimes the places that get the most press, as you mentioned, are the places that are in the guidebooks. They sort of explode, and then, not to be cynical, but then they're not really the best place anymore.
They
because
coast.
They coast, they're overcrowded, they're just finally making a lot of money, and they're not maybe as hungry and ambitious. So the best thing to do really is just really ask locals, like, where is the best place for craft roasted coffee? Where is the best distillery? You'll get that info, maybe even from the people that work at the campgrounds, because remember, they hang out around the campgrounds where they work.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's just a fun way to go into a lot of vacations with that food and drink mentality, but not just going onto Yelp and seeing whatever the favorite place is that's right by you, but actually trying to tap into the scene, right? There's scenes in a lot more places now, and we have fun exploring
and
them.
Boy, oh boy, did Kate Dunbar tap into the scene along the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Stephanie, this episode is an embarrassment of riches. Like, I don't know even how to sum this up for our listeners, besides just saying, like, hold on tight, stay tuned. Kate is just going to pack so much great information about the Kentucky Bourbon Trail into this episode. And you also need to know that this is a paired episode. It goes along with the Campground of the Week episode this week, where Kate reviews the two campgrounds on the single episode, the two campgrounds where she used them as base camps for her exploration of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. So I think everybody needs to buckle up. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are so excited to be here with Kate Dunbar from Kate's Curious Kitchen, also known as the Campground Gourmet. And Kate is taking us on a journey along the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And this is a paired episode with Campground of the Week. So over on Campground of the Week, she reviewed the Louisville South KOA, and she also reviewed the Elkhart Campground. But on this RVFTA episode, she's going to tell us about all the cool things that she did in those two locations. And I'm so excited because Stephanie and I really want to do this trip. But before we dive into some great content from Kate, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Jayco has helped generation after generation create family memories since 1968. Offering travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, Class C and Class A motorhomes, it's easy to find the perfect Jayco for your family. With an industry-leading two-year limited warranty, beautiful design, and innovative safety features, you can be confident in your Jayco. Visit your local Jayco dealer or Jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome to the show, Miss Kate Dunbar.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's wonderful. We love your travel segment so much. You really do embody just sort of the spirit of what we love about RVing. You're both an RV camping fanatic. You do it all, cooking over the campfire, getting out there to a state park. And then you also just plan these amazing trips that we get so much inspiration from.
She brings the details, she brings the recommendations, and she brings the bourbon.
Yes.
I do. And this time I can definitely say I delivered, or I should say Kentucky delivered. This was incredible. But I definitely want to start out and say I made this vacation for my family, family friendly. So I chose distilleries that were absolutely fine with having children there. And the ones that I went to that weren't, my kids were doing other activities with my husband. So
yeah, and that's why I
wanted to put that out there really clearly.
And it's so great to have you on the show to do that, because the thing is that this is the kind of trip that a lot of people might want to take, and they might hesitate to do it if they do have younger kids, but you made this a family friendly trip.
I want to pontificate for a second. No one needs to do any apologizing for combining a trip of things that like mom and dad want to do.
Yeah,
like that is
right.
Okay. To all our listeners out there, if you want to do some thematic trip or go to some destination that's more about your interests, go ahead and do that. Just stay at a KOA or a Jellystone or somewhere fun at night and make it happen. I love how you did this trip.
Yeah.
So we're going to start out and talk about the things you did while you were staying at the Louisville South KOA.
So 3 days. So we have 3 days there, and then we have 3 days in the other location. So tell us what you did on day one.
On day one, it was all about me. That was my choice where I wanted to go, and it was right to the Louisville Slugger Museum. I wanted to see how baseball bats were made. I wanted my own with my name on it. I wanted to show my kids how incredible it was. And the better part when I was there was that the Sandlot movie like reunion thing was happening there. And they had memorabilia from the movie. And it was like kid in a candy. And granted, I'm in the mid-40s, pushing later 40s, but that movie still, I can put that thing on and it just brings tears to my eyes. It makes me happy. I love it. And I grew up with an amazing uncle who used to play minor league baseball, and he taught me how to hit a ball. He taught me how to catch a ball, and it was my connection back to him. And he was the one who taught me how to go fishing when I was younger too. So that whole camping thing kind of swirled around this, and just being there, and my daughter loved it. She wanted to go through the factory tour twice. And so we did, we went off again together and just had a blast there. And it is
a gorgeous location too, right in downtown Louisville. I've been to the Slugger Museum like 4 times because I've worked there several times with ETS. And when you said that bat with your name on it, my dad got me one when I was a kid, and I bought Max and Theo and Wes bats with their names on it. It is like one of the ultimate baseball souvenirs.
Mine is sitting right next to my desk. It's hanging on the wall, and it has Kate Dunbar, Kate's Curious Kitchen, on it. And I treasure it. I absolutely, if you don't believe me, go onto my Instagram account, scroll down, you'll see it because I took a picture of it.
All right. Now, of course, you have a good food recommendation for us too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Blue Dog Bakery and Cafe was somewhere that I was recommended to go to by a chef here in Texas. And she was like, you have to go. Their pastrami Reuben is the best you've ever had. And I went, you do realize I've had, you know, Los Angeles deli, and that's like right next to the movie houses and everything. This is going to be some pretty tough competition, because I've had incredible pastrami sandwiches out of the park, just like the baseball bat. It was fantastic. It was
best
so
ever. Best ever.
I would definitely put it on the best ever, because the fact that it was so moist and flavorful, and you could taste all of those pickling spices in the meat. It was just unbelievable. And it was so tender, you could hold it up and you could just pull it apart and it would come apart. There wasn't any give, like any really tough threads hanging onto it. It was beautiful. Melt in your mouth. Fantastic. My mom had the chicken salad with the grapes and pecans and was beyond happy with that. The kids had pizzas, the pepperoni and Red Hog fennel sausage was just bright and crisp and had some great heat to it, and which my son absolutely adored. And it had this thick tomato jam on it. And that's just, imagine a tomato that's been candied and it just lays on the bottom of that pizza and gets caramelized from the heat. It was so good.
I'm imagining it, and I'm hungry, as I always am after we talk to you. Now, on day two, here's where we go into that part that we were just talking about. You know, day one, you did the very family-friendly Louisville Slugger, you know, museum and factory. Then on day two, you dove into some of the distilleries nearby, and you said that you picked ones that were really great for the whole family. So do you want to kind of tell us where you went on day two?
Absolutely. I went to Boundary Oak Distillery, and Boundary Oak is one of the newer distilleries that has hit the market, and hit the market really big. The reason why I chose this one was because there was also a destination. And after I finished with this amazing distillery, you'll see why. And I kind of backed it. So the kids had something to do too, but this is a family friendly place. They even have food trucks on the weekend and music, and they have cornhole platforms all over the front of their distillery. So kids can go outside and play and have fun. There's a huge grass field. So, you know, bring a soccer ball, bring a football so they can kick it around and everything. It's large enough for an RV to go in there. So if you were just driving through on your way somewhere and you wanted to stop at a distillery, set your mark to Boundary Oak Distillery. The inside part of it, there's a great little movie theater that's in there, and they start you off with the history of the family and the area. So that got the kids right away. There was a movie. Brent Gooden, he's the distiller and his family, and they've actually been in that area for about 200 years. They are one of the original distilling families in Kentucky, and their history is played out in that movie for you. And the kids kind of learn what Prohibition is and what it was and what it meant and why there still were distilleries in production, even though there wasn't supposed to be any alcohol in America, which brought up questions.
Oh,
from
I
them.
Can only imagine the questions, Kate. Our kids are around.
The questions were great, and we downloaded a bunch of those books from Audible that talked about Prohibition. Like, what was it? But it was geared for kids to understand the history, you know, like what happened the night of the San Francisco earthquake, like those book series and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they had listened to it, and we talked about Daniel Boone, and we'd listened to him, and we talked about Abraham Lincoln and listened to him. And it was like, you are in where they grew up. Like, this is their area. You are walking in history, and this is a part of it. So that just brought them right into it.
That's so cool. I mean, I love the fact that this is also almost, yeah, it's a distillery, but it's also probably as educational as some of the national historic sites that you go to with the same, the movie, the tour, the gift shop.
Exactly, because the crazy thing about this distillery is that on October 18th, 2013, it was the very first legal production in that county since Prohibition had begun. There wasn't another distilling ticket that was allowed. So they're huge in this that, okay, in this area, there hasn't been any distillery since before Prohibition, and now there is, which opens the door to all of these craft distilleries coming in and creating bourbon and whiskey and gin and vodka on the market in that area.
So what did you try and what did you like?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we also chose this one because the distillery is really supportive of the military, and they've taken certain bottles, certain yields, and they've labeled them for military installments, regiments, and for generals. They are the creators of the Patton Armored Diesel Bourbon. And this they've worked in conjunction with the Patton Museum that's just right up the road in Fort Knox that you can go to. And this has his imagery on the front of it. They've taken the recipe from the bourbon that he was known for drinking during World War II and where he created his drink, the Armored Diesel. And they have the recipe right there for you to snap a picture of. And it's also at the Patton Museum just up the road. But the great thing is that there's limited editions of these, and they come in these special footlockers. And the footlocker and General Patton are iconic because that the last trunk that he was getting ready to come home with contained all these special papers and memorabilia and everything from his war days, but he ended up getting in a car accident and he never got to reopen that trunk again. And it's just everything that held in you. See, there's a photo of him, of it and his dog that's just laying down on the ground and just, you know, that sad moment. And that's where everybody knows that footlocker from. Well, the distillery has worked with the craftsmen in the area with the oak trees that have fallen in the area, and they've made special footlockers that look exactly like the one that Patton had. And there's a bottle of it in there, and you can purchase this.
Well, and so, it seems like you can purchase it, but you're going to have to pay a pretty penny, huh?
You're going to have to pay a little bit more.
Well, how much is that?
So for that special edition one, it's $265.
That's not crazy. That's not a crazy price for something that unique.
And it is unique and it's a collector's item. However, if you don't want the box and you don't want everything, you just want the bottle, it's about $60.
Okay, that's more in my
Was that you, Kate? Did you go for the $60 or the $265?
My husband went for the Foot Locker and I went for the regular. I went for the regular bottle. I was the conservative purchaser that day because I knew I had a long haul over 6 days.
Right. So, and Kate, we should say that your husband is a veteran. So that's
This is very
close to your hearts, this connection.
It really, really was. And they have an American whiskey that's named after the Black Horse Regiment, which is the Army's 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment. That was the garrison now is at Fort Irwin, California. That's where my husband deployed out of before he went to Iraq. So that was another, we have to get this and see this. But they are especially known for this last bourbon. And this is something that is very unique to the area. And it also pays homage to our American history. They have Lincoln Straight Bourbon. And straight means that it comes straight out of the barrel. That barrel, it's not mixing with others all over the place, and it's not getting diluted. What the cask strength is, there it is, and it's coming straight into the bottle. This is 115 proof, so it's a little strong, but it is absolutely beautiful, and it's kind of like this leathery caramel vanilla flavor, the amber dark color. And it's uncut, like I said, so it doesn't have any water added to it to bring it down. And it has this fantastic picture of Abraham Lincoln on it. And it's like he is piercing you through the photograph of him that's on the bottle. And there's a great picture of a Lincoln penny on the top of the cork. Some of the original bottles were made out of the oak trees along their boundary line of the distillery. So it was really kind of neat to see that top and know that it came from there. And that is Boundary Oak.
Well, and that really brings you right to the next stop, because all these references to Lincoln, you know, Lincoln's birthplace is right there near this distillery.
It's 10 minutes from it. It's 10 minutes. So we had our fun. We had some food. We purchased some beautiful bottles. And, you know, we went, okay, we need to walk and we need some fresh air for a while, because the tastings that are there are fantastic. You go all the way from moonshine, from straight out without being aged, all the way through all of the levels to that Lincoln Straight Bourbon. That's your last one that you taste. I think it was like 7 or 8 different tastings. It's on my Instagram page. You'll see it. I have a stacked picture of all these beautiful little cups with all the different colors changing. Unbelievable. Fantastic. Loved it. They let the kids smell everything, which I thought was really fantastic, because they got them in there, and there's nothing like telling a kid, close your eyes, breathe in, tell me what you smell. And they come up with some of the most creative, amazing flavor profiles that a lot of distillers actually have their kids come in and smell so they can pick up different tasting notes. So you never know. You might have a super taster on your hands.
Pure palates, right? To draw from.
Totally. Totally. But yeah. So
did the kids enjoy the Abraham Lincoln birthplace as much as they enjoyed the distillery?
You know what? My son loved it more. My daughter was terrified of it. And it was hilarious because there was this big butterfly migration that was coming through. And of all things, my daughter decided last summer that she was terrified of butterflies. So you'd just see her and she'd be fine. And the next moment she'd be having this like attack and she would just be running all over the place. But then she'd find somewhere else to look and it was, you know, it was fine. They loved seeing a sunken well. They never understood what that was, that there was this big, huge sinkhole in the ground where all the fresh water was collected. And that's what they used for their water in their homestead. And walking all the 56 stairs up to the memorial and then going inside and seeing the replica cabin that, you know, he was born in and the grounds, and then looking at the Boundary Oak, which kind of, you know, goes back to the distillery. Back then, surveyors would use large trees as the boundary lines of property. And that's the significance of that name. And where Abraham Lincoln's father, I believe his name was Thomas. that when he purchased that farm, there were markings of all over the survey of this boundary oak here and this boundary oak and this sunken well and this rise and all that. So that's where the name kind of flows through. And there's just the Junior Ranger program there was fantastic. My kids had so much fun at that one. And they have a whole calendar of activities throughout the year with demonstrations and reenactments and anniversaries of when it was dedicated.
So you found your bourbon and you found your park.
I totally did. And I love this one because it's, I can see where the homestead was and why the home was up on the rise and why the rest of the farmland and the area around it was sunken in. And there's just this beautiful, thick, lush forest up against it. So even when you're walking the trails, you're in shade. So you're not in that intense Kentucky sun during the day. It's an absolute must go. They only get like maybe 200,000 visitors a year. It's not a busy park. You can relax and breathe there.
I think, too, it's important to find some of these lesser visited parks. What an action-packed day two.
Right.
Do you need to take a nap before day three?
I was so grateful for the pool because we all just flopped into it. And I think I did like super easy, you know, skewers for dinner. And I was just like, I can't go any further. I need to sleep. I'm tired.
Well, you know, now day three, you did it perfectly again, where you paired that family-friendly activity with another distillery experience. So tell us what you did on day three.
We went to the Louisville Zoo. Each one of my kids throughout our trip, they get to pick one place a week wherever we are that's theirs, that they get to call it out. And my son is all about zoos and aquariums. I think the child is going to be a veterinarian. So he's all about that. And the Louisville Zoo is amazing. It is huge. I never realized how big this was. They have a tram service that'll get you from one area to the other if you need to. They have an old vintage 1920 carousel. And I think that those are just the best. Like my husband and I could sit on one of those and just go around and around and around and let the kids, you know, play and go do whatever they wanted to. They have elephants and zebras and wallabies and polar bears and grizzly bears and seals and, you know, the vampire bats. That was my son's favorite part. And I brought my camera in and my tripod, and I was able to sit there with him and show him, because it's really, really dark inside of there. And I was able to apply my night photography skills inside there and do these long exposures that actually gave my son detail on what the little vampire bats looked like. And he thought that was just a kick. So that was fun. And then they have a white American alligator. It is this albino alligator, you know, completely freak of nature, not something that you would normally see. And he was so cool. I had a blast just watching him. And they have a beautiful Japanese garden in there with bamboo that just towers over you in a perfectly shaded area with a bunch of benches. And you could easily have packed your lunch and brought it in there, or you could have eaten at one of the five concessions restaurants that they have there. It was a great day. All in all, we spent maybe 4.5 hours there.
Did you get thirsty for a little bourbon?
I absolutely did. I was like, okay, kid time over, mom time begin.
So now you went this day to the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience. And that's, I think, one of the more, I would say, popular or famous places that you can tour.
It is, because it's in downtown. And this way, my husband was like, I don't know if I can handle another tasting. You know, I've got the kids, I've got everybody. What if we just go poke around downtown and you go do this one? And I'm like, okay, that's great. I'll totally take this one for the team. Not a problem. That was a great way of, if you have one and someone who's just like, nah, I really don't want to do it. There's entertainment galore. You know, there was a movie house not too far away. I think they actually ended up going and watching a movie. So it was perfect.
So tell us about, I know that the Evan Williams, I think that it's really, you need to plan ahead probably to book a tour and everything, right?
You do. And that's the one thing I'm definitely going to push when you start talking about distilleries or even events like the Louisville Zoo and all of that. They all have the option to purchase tickets in advance. And I'm going to say it is a must with the distilleries during the summer, because that's when everybody starts coming around. And some of these tours are only for 8 people. Some of them are for 30. It just depends on what you want to do and how you want to handle it. And the Evan Williams bourbon experience is really famous. It's like this four-story building, and you see this humongous bottle, almost three stories tall, in the window, pouring out the bourbon into the cup, and it's overflowing. Like, there, that's the iconic picture. It's all over the Visit Kentucky website, and you just go to that. But they have these great tours. The first one is the traditional tour and tasting. And if you've never been to the Evan Williams Experience, take this one. And especially if you're new to the world of bourbon or understanding anything, get the beginning tour. Don't do the advanced ones, because they're going to expect that you know a little bit already. And this one, it was an hour long. It was $14 a person, and you had one, two, three, four. I think it was four or five tastings. So that was perfect. Anyone under 21, obviously they're not going to be doing any tasting, and they're not charged. So it's the over 21s that are charged.
So they can still go. They can still go on the tour.
Absolutely.
But, okay.
Absolutely. There were kids, there were parents pushing strollers. You know, I was excited. I'm like, good, they're getting out. They're having fun. They're doing what they want to do, you know? And that was part of it. I mean, I am a food writer, and that's part of my traveling. I have to go experience all these things. And my kids now know, oh, it's mom, she's going to work. So it works out just fine. And they join in when they can. And when, you know, and however it goes. But they have a sweet and neat, and I went to that one, and that was a lot of fun because that was chocolate pairing and bourbon. And what types of chocolate work the best and why, based on the flavor profiles. And you get this great commemorative glass that you get to take home too. And it's about an hour. It's $25. Totally worth it. So if you like chocolate, if you like bourbon, try this one.
So is that a real thing? Is that like a real thing? Is combining, I'm just totally ignorant here, combining the chocolate and bourbon, is that sort of kind of a new thing, or has that been around forever?
It's been around for a while, but as you get more towards the craft food services and these great pop-ups that are happening, you see a lot of pairings going on with chefs and distilleries, just like chefs and breweries and chefs and wineries. Bourbon has a lot of complex flavors. It can be sweet. It can be smoky. It can be rich. It can be dry. It can be spicy, or it can be mellow. That's a lot of area where you can throw in fat, salt, acid, and heat to pair, to complement something, to add it into a recipe, or to use it as the liquid that you're going to drink while you're consuming that product. So it's really versatile. It moves around. And then that doesn't even bring up the whole fact of craft cocktail service and everything like that that comes into it.
So this is like heaven for you, because it is.
Oh, it is.
There is the whole food angle to it as well.
There is. And there's the science behind it too, that really has always intrigued me. And there's the history of it. I mean, you're looking at a company that made it through Prohibition. They were one of the five distilleries in the United States that were allowed to keep producing their whiskey because it was medicinal and doctors could write
yes,
a prescription for it.
Stephanie's been saying that for years.
I think it is medicinal, in fact.
It is. And the great part is that they've got this speakeasy tour, which reminds me of a speakeasy that we have here in Austin that I like going to every once in a while. It's like you have to have the right password to let you in the door. And then you step back into the 1930s and you look at the production of the company into areas that are now, you know, historical sites. And then you get to taste four of the upper bourbons from their list versus just the basic, which in and itself, it's $20 per person. If you were going to go have some of those drinks and two of those cocktails at a bar, you'd be paying more than $20. And you get four tastes and a fun history too.
All right, Kate. Well, look, that was 3 days. We've got three more. I don't even know how we're going to hold up through all of this.
Kate packs a lot into a day. Kate, you guys pack more into a day than we do. Let's just say it.
Let's be honest. All right. So we're going to be back in a minute, and we're going to learn about the next 3 days on Kate's wild Kentucky bourbon trail adventure. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are not done with Kate Dunbar, okay? We're moving now to her next stop, and we're going to talk about all the things she did while she was staying at the Elkhart Campground. And she reviewed the Elkhart Campground on our Campground of the Week podcast this week. So this is a paired episode. So we have a lot more action on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail from Kate Dunbar. But before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
All right. Well, if you are headed out on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail and you're staying at some campgrounds without any hookups, you're going to want to snag yourself a Smart Tote 2LX from Thetford. That's going to allow you to easily empty that gray water during your stay so you can keep showering, you can keep doing the dishes.
Or you just fill it with bourbon.
Just get rid of that bourbon.
27 gallons
Hide
of
it.
Bourbon.
Like you're in prohibition again. The auto stop level gauge prevents messy overfilling, and the handle is going to hook onto your trailer hitch, so you can just go right to the dump station. Rinse and repeat, right? Rinse and repeat. It comes in 18, 27, or 35 gallon models, and you can go to Thetford.com for more information.
Kate, I can't believe how much you packed into this trip. So
it's pretty crazy.
Let's dive into day one. While you're using the Elkhart Campground as your base camp, and over on the Campground of the Week podcast, you raved about this campground, so you were thrilled with that. Let's talk about what you did on your first day.
So I knew that this day was going to be really long, and I had to buy my children's love and affection. So I started it off with candy. I took my family to the Rebecca Ruth Candy Company, and they are famous for creating bourbon balls. And everybody knows those. Those are that soft bourbon, creamy, sugary interior, and that crisp chocolate exterior. And they're a dream. And almost every distillery now has that company making bourbon balls with their bourbon that you can purchase in the gift shops, or you just go straight to the source, to Rebecca Ruth, and see all of the over 100 other confections that they make there too. So my children couldn't obviously have the bourbon balls, but they could have the amazing peanut butter cups and everything else from the dark chocolate to the milk chocolate, and everything in between. They had holiday chocolates, and they ship worldwide. So they might hold off on shipping for a couple weeks based upon the temperature during travel, but they ship everywhere. And it is a stop that you need to see. It's $5 for a factory tour. Well worth it. And you get to eat a lot of chocolate on the tour. So fun at that one.
Did Ooh. The strategy work? You got the kids sugared up so that you could go do some more bourbon. Were they happy with this?
Absolutely. It was the best, because from there we drove just 5 minutes, drove around the state capitol and took a look at it, to which my daughter said, "Meh, it's nice, but Texas's is bigger." I'm like, you have
of
to
course,
stop judging
everything's
things that way.
Bigger in Texas.
You have to stop judging things that way. But a place that I wanted to go to, but it wasn't open yet, was the Castle and Key Distillery. And this is something that just Google online, castleandkey.com. And this is one of the newest distilleries that has come up in production, but it's on one of the oldest historic sites. And it's run by a female. She is the head of, she's the grandmaster sitting there tasting and testing all day long. So kudos to that one. I love that. Lunch, we went to one of the best places in downtown Frankfurt, and that was Buddy's Pizza. It's New York style. It's big, huge slices. You can fold them over in half, and they are beyond delicious. You can get sandwiches as well. And if you don't have time to get to all of these distilleries, go across the street from Buddy's Pizza over to Capital Cellars. You're going to find one of the largest collections of all the Kentucky bourbons that are produced. You can taste them, you can have cocktails made with them, and you can purchase them as well. And way up high on a shelf with my little eye, I spotted a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle, 25-year-old, and that bottle sells for over $3,000.
Whoa.
You go, Pappy Van Winkle.
Yeah, so there was that, and then there was the fact that for $25, I could actually taste it. I could have a cocktail with it, and I sat my backside down at that bar and went, absolutely, $25. Well worth it.
So what did you order? How did you order it for that $25?
Great.
You just did it straight.
Great.
Okay. I was going to say, because you just want to taste it, right?
I tasted it straight for the first like 5 or 6 sips, and then I asked for one ice cube. Put it in there just to see what flavor profiles changed when you add water to it, which, you know, the melting ice.
It opens
ice,
it up a
it
bit.
It does. Yeah. It opens it up. It blooms it up. And it was, yeah, I mean, if I had an extra $3,000 laying around, I'd probably buy a bottle. It was unbelievable. It now, really, really was.
Apparently, the sweet tooth wasn't satisfied because you had a dessert recommendation in
this area. I did. I went right around the corner because, like I said, over on the campground review that we did, it was my children's 11th birthday, and we wanted to get them some sweet treats to celebrate the next day at the campground. Well, we walked right on into Bee's Bakery, and let me tell you, hands down, gotta go there. Cakes, cookies, pies, donuts, cupcakes, bars, biscuits, croissants, and just so many more. Take a pink box home and be absolutely thrilled, or bring it with you when you're going bourbon tasting and pair a dessert with a bourbon.
Do you have to abandon all moderation on a trip like this?
Yeah, it seems like you can't. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do it, you know.
Well, and I think that that's the point. Like, there's some trips that, yes, you're going to a place and there's some good eating or drinking recommendations in that place. But this theme of this.
This is the destination of you are doing this. Or you're not, and you're doing the national parks and the historic monuments. And that's fine. And you're sprinkling it in and sprinkling it out. But I mean, if you are a dedicated bourbon drinker and you want to do the bourbon trail, you have 42 places to go to.
Well, that's a lot. So what other distillery did you check out on this second, this first day that you were in this area?
Right. So the time that we spent at this next one was pretty much all day. They are absolutely 100% family friendly. Children are not only wanted, they are beyond welcome there, and they love to entertain them. I went and took my family to the Buffalo Trace Distillery. And the Trace Tour, which is open for everybody, all ages, it's an hour long. You definitely need reservations. You can just go online and get that done. Then there's the Hard Hat Tour, and this is one of those limited space ones, but you go up inside the rick houses, and the rick houses are where all the barrels are stored for aging. And my kids learned that how hot it is up on the top compared to how it is down on the bottom makes a big difference with your bourbon flavoring. When bourbon barrels get nice and hot, the wood swells, the bourbon comes right on into it, gets sucked on in. And then during the winter when it's cold, that wood shrinks down and forces the bourbon out of the wood. And that's where you get the flavor profiles. It's that push and pull of the seasons of the barrels and where they stage them. So there's a nutshell of aging. That's it right there.
Well, now I know you said earlier on that one of the distilleries was great for RV parking if you were passing through, but you specifically mentioned in your notes for this one, this is not good for RVs.
No, it's not. It is so popular. So popular. And they are doing the first huge, they're doing a $200 million expansion on their distillery there, and it's not safe. You're going to get into trouble. So leave the camper. Don't pull through this place as a, oh, we're going to go see it, and then we're going to head on the road. Not worth it.
Was this your kid's favorite? I mean, you mentioned how ridiculously family friendly that Buffalo Trace Distillery is. Would you say this was your kid's favorite?
Absolutely. There was nothing like the sight of my son's eyes when he saw bourbon barrels being rolled out of a rick house down the road and into the dump room. He was just, I mean, hundreds of barrels just rolling down the street all on their own, just like wandering little caterpillars back to their place where they're supposed to go. And he loved it. And the best part was, is that the kids get to taste. Everybody gets to taste up until a point, and then you must be 21 or over to continue. But my children learned the development of the mash, which is the grain that's used and mixed with water. And then at one point yeast is added, and that's where the alcohol and the fermentation starts. But before
that
moment. So they taste
it before they add the yeast.
They did. And it was so cool because they got to taste the mash beforehand when it was just really hard and just stone ground. And there it was. So they knew what some of the flavor tasted like. And then they got to taste it after water had been introduced to it and had been sitting there. And my son was like, Mom, this tastes like an oatmeal cookie. And the girl who was doing the tour was like, and we're hiring him because he already has the flavor profile. So bring him on back. And, you know, and all of that. And getting through, and then great interactive movie to learn about this company. And you can just walk all over the place. They have a cafe there as well with a catering company that has sandwiches and drinks and things. They sell out every day. So if it's 2 o'clock and you're thinking you're going to go get a sandwich, probably not going to happen. They'll already be sold out. So make certain that you pack some extra food with you and bring it along.
I want to go on the ghost tour.
That's the one I was getting, the ghost tour. Oh my gosh. We were so bummed that we weren't there when it was happening, because it's very select days throughout the month. And this is the one where you might actually come up against Colonel Blanton. And he is what Blanton's bourbon is named after, as one of the master distillers. It is one of the most sought after bourbons. It's in this round, beautiful crystal jar with this cork that has a horse on the top of it. And if you don't know what it is, go onto my Instagram page, you can see it. And space is limited. That's when there's like only 8 to 12 people on this tour. So you're walking around Buffalo Trace in the dark at night, and you're hearing all the creaking wood from all the barrels, and you're smelling all of the bourbon, and it's a little misty because it's Kentucky, so you never know.
I would love that. I would absolutely love something like that.
Like, that's something that's totally down for me. And E.H. Taylor Tour is the tour of the base foundation of where Buffalo Trace is. He was the very first distiller. He created the OFC line, and you get to walk into one of the historic warehouses, one of the rick houses, the aging rooms, and that's where it all started. The OFC is Old Fire Copper, and that was the name that on one of those magical five distilleries that made it through Prohibition. This was another one. So it has been around forever, and hopefully with its new expansion, it's going to continue to, because it started back in 1775.
Now, on day two, you went to another distillery that I think is probably very recognizable to a lot of our listeners, even if you're not big into bourbon and in this trail. So Maker's Mark, to me, is like one of the most sentimental brands. You know,
it
feels like home in a lot of ways to
it. Does
I don't know what to order, I'm just going to order a Maker's Mark.
it's one of those foundation spirits where you know the bottle, you know what it looks like, you know the marketing, and please go to this distillery. Bring your family, bring your RV. There is a huge parking lot for bus tours and RVs. It's there. You can spend all day. On day two of our adventure, we spent all day there. They have a full restaurant inside. They have beautiful trails all around, all along. You get to see the production going on. Those beautiful paper labels that are on the front of the bottles, those are handmade. They are hand stamped, hand cranked from a 1932 press. This is nothing. Technology hasn't entered in this company in a way. It's still old and tradition. They hand dip all of the tops of the bottles. They put the labels on by hand. They're made by hand. But then there's been some change in Maker's Mark, and that's where the education and the graduation of master distillers and the changeover has happened. They have four specific bourbons today. They have Maker's Mark, which is the original. They have Cask Strength, which comes at somewhere between 108 and 114 proof. Then they have Maker's 46, and then they have the Private Select. And the Maker's 46 is what has absolutely changed this company and bourbon drinkers. This is, you take a bourbon barrel, and to be called bourbon, it has to be 51% corn mash. It needs to go into the barrel at a certain alcohol volume, no higher, no lower, and it must sit in a new charred barrel in a rick house for 2 years. After that, it is considered bourbon, and that's how Congress has defined it. Now, what they do at Maker's is they age it for a certain amount of time, and they only go by taste. So you could have a barrel that's 2 years old and a barrel that's 8 years old, and they might taste similar. They'll pull them at the same time. They stand the barrel up, they cut the top off, and they put a new top on, but they have wood staves that are attached to it. And a stave are the wooden planks on the outside of the barrel that hold it all together. But with these 10 French oak staves that are attached to that lid, and the barrel is reattached again, you're having a new flavor infused into it. And then they take it one step further and they put it into their new cold cave, which they blasted out a limestone hill and built a rick house inside of there. But it's a cold rick house. It's 50 degrees. So you can be walking around and it's 90 degrees outside with 90% humidity. And then you walk into this 50 degree cave and it's unbelievable. And from that, Maker's 46, because it was the 46th batch and it worked, that's where it got the number. And if you're a really extra special person who might have a restaurant or a baseball team or, you know, something else, and you can pay anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 for one of those barrels, you can create your own.
Whoa. Oh,
with your own little. Now, let me ask you this. There's tours here too. Did you feel like the tours were significantly different, you know, at the various distilleries to really like bring you into the personality of the distillery and not just feel like, you know, okay, second verse, same as the first. You know, right, in exactly. California, you can kind of sometimes feel like going from one winery to another. You're right. Like, wait, which one am I at?
No, because every single distiller that we went to, I never heard repeat unless it was the base process, the filling, the aging, the bottling. Okay, those are all the same, but they really don't focus on that. What they focus on is the history. Mm-hmm. The history of who was the master distiller, when this was started, if it made it through prohibition, how they've changed from just being corn and malted barley and another grain to maybe being 100% rye. Or, you know, because those would be called rye whiskeys, to the bourbons that are sweeter that do have rye mixed into it that don't have the malted barley in it. You learn all about the different flavors and you really learn what you like and what you don't like, because the major thing that I've come across, anybody, they says, oh, I don't like bourbon. It's way too strong for me. It's just like fire water. All right. Let's figure out why. Is it because of the mash? Is it because of the aging? Is it because of the proof? Is it because maybe you're just drinking it wrong? Mm-hmm. And going through the science of that, like sipping it first straight, then adding in an ice cube. And then, you know, maybe if you want to put it on its ear and change a little bit, add some ginger beer to it and have a Kentucky Mule. It's a great cocktail. And that's three different ways that you can taste one product and you're bound to find something. This is a sipping drink. This is not a, yay, we're going to, you know, slam one back. It's not that whatsoever.
I'm getting a Kentucky Mule next time we go out to a bar, it's which so God good. Knows when that'll be, Stephanie.
Yeah, it's so good. It's my favorite. Yeah, it's definitely my favorite. I'm not a big cocktail person. I definitely tend to stay more in the wine and the beer. But in fact, whiskey and bourbon is the one place that I do, it's my favorite spirit. So
it's become mine too. It really has. I'm definitely seeing more of a fill on our shelves, especially from this trip.
Yeah, she's stocked up, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I love what you did on day three, because on day three, all of the family stayed at the campground to relax and play, and you took an actual tour. So it's one thing to go around and to drive to the distilleries and to do the tours with the family, but then at the same time, you can just kind of knock a bunch out by yourself on a tour.
And have a driver. The most important thing is having a driver, and you are on Kentucky roads, and you need to drink and drive responsibly. My husband and I would do the, you know, okay, you can taste at this one I won't taste at it. And we absolutely would. We would take turns, or we would have like one and the other one would have like two or three little sips. And granted, they're not pouring drinks. They're pouring half ounce pours. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, you go to two or three in a day and you're like, I'm done.
Stephanie married her designated driver.
I know, Jared, so I'm so lucky. I don't have to worry about it.
She could totally pull this trip off. I mean, I would hardly touch anything.
Now,
it's fun. And I really have to say, Mint Julep Tours is the house of all of the bourbon tours in Kentucky. They're who you go to, they're who you book through, and they're who pick you up. There's designated meeting areas, or sometimes if you're staying near a hotel or a campground that's not too far from one of their areas, they'll come and pick you up.
And you went to Four Roses, Woodford Reserve, and Jim Beam on that tour.
I did. And it was just a great day. I was gone all day. I was gone for about 12 hours. So
now, did you use a full pack day. I know that the Kentucky Bourbon Trail has a passport.
They do.
That you can get. Did you get one of those?
I did. I called ahead and I had one sent to me. So mine is still being filled. I still have a lot of empty space, which means I have to continue to go back, just like our national park passes and junior ranger ones. And what you do is you show up at the distillery and you get it stamped. You really don't have to drink to qualify for that. And when you finish it, you send it back in to the Kentucky Bourbon Trail and they send you a t-shirt.
Yeah. Hashtag bourbon goals.
Yep.
The Kentucky bourbon
Most
trail.
Expensive t-shirt I've probably ever going to wear.
I know.
It was well worth it.
Now, Kate, thank you so much. What we just did for everybody, just to wrap it all up, is we went through 6 days of Kate's adventure on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. She stayed in 2 different campgrounds, and we reviewed both of those campgrounds over on Campground of the Week in this very same week. You can find links to every single thing that Kate mentioned, including the campgrounds, over at rvfta.com. If you're listening to this a year after it came out, just go to the search bar at rvfta.com and type in bourbon. Bourbon trail, whatever.
You can find, this is a whole It'll pop up. This is a whole itinerary for people to make their trips, Kate. This was wonderful.
Or you can also go to, I want to say, you can also go to the Kate Dunbar tag on our website. So if you did like RVFTA and you typed in Kate Dunbar in our search button, every one of these travel episodes that she's done is going to pop up, and that's another great resource for you.
Kate, we cannot thank you enough for all of this wonderful, wonderful content. Where can all of our listeners find you to follow along on all of your adventures this spring, summer, and fall camping season?
Well, thank you for having me on, and I always love joining in the fun with you. You can find me on social media and on the web at Kate's Curious Kitchen, and you can also find me partnering with my cookbook, thecampgroundgourmet.com, and we have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, and if you haven't picked up the cookbook yet, mosey on over to Amazon. It's $9.99. It's an ebook, and you can get it right there, The Campground Gourmet, and I am here to help you however you need with your campground cooking, or if you need some bourbon suggestions, send me an email. I have a wealth of knowledge now.
And I have to say, that book got rave reviews. I mean, people really connected with this cookbook.
I have
Simple,
been shocked.
Delicious.
I know. And it's so heartwarming to know that I'm helping people make their camping adventure even better and especially tastier.
Yeah,
that
much
in
more
itself,
delicious.
makes my heart happy.
The book pushes us out of our comfort zones, but not so far that it's like intimidating or impossible. And I love
because
it's very accessible.
Exactly. Now you just need to take the Cuban coffee steak.
Oh, that was the best. I love
that. Take that one.
That was delicious.
And now just Google a bourbon cream sauce. And so when you're on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, just take that bottle, make the cream sauce, and put it right over the top of the steak, and you're going to have an amazing dinner.
All right, I'll meet you at the campground for that one. All right,
Kate. I want to see Kate. I'm hoping to see Kate Dunbar on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail.
All you right, will. Kate. I'll be there. Thank you, guys.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and just a huge thank you to Kate Dunbar, who only brings her A-game to this podcast. Like, I think Kate only has an A-game, Stephanie, would you agree?
Well, I mean, she doesn't only bring her A-game to our podcast. I think she brings her A-game to a lot of other places, too.
Like, she just wakes up, and it's like, okay, it's my A-game. I'm awake.
She's living in that world. She's a straight-A student, for
sure. Can you picture Kate Dunbar, like, resting, taking a nap? No, I don't think so. Huge thank you to Kate. Check her out. Check out the new blog, The Campground Gourmet. She's The Campground Gourmet on Instagram. And then, of course, Kate's Curious Kitchen. Still, you want to check that out as well. All right, so before we dive into this week's RVFTA News Roundup, where we have a couple really big announcements about merch, we have a sponsored message from our endless hot water friends, Truma.
Yeah, Truma's been the leading European supplier of RV accessories for over 70 years, and they came over to North America in 2015 with a star of the show. It is the truly instant, constant, and endless hot water, the AquaGo.
Which we've discovered is also easier to winterize, actually.
Yes, and it's
a simpler system.
This is the first time we de-winterized it, and we were both kind of like, ooh, you know how you always are just like, you got your breath catch. You have all fingers and toes crossed, and we, de-winterized the camper. We both went inside and we turned it on, and we turned on the faucet, and
hot water.
Seconds later,
boom.
Hot water came out.
Boom.
We were like, oh my gosh,
it was almost like we never put it to sleep for the winter.
No, it came right back on, and there was no like trickery or difficulty, or it just worked. And that is what truly Truma is known for, right? And I mean, they just make things that work.
And I'm also really starting to finally get the exact feel for the eco mode and the comfort mode. You know, in the comfort mode, that hot water is going to be right there waiting for you. In eco mode, it's going to take just a little bit longer to heat up, but it's going to sip on less propane. All right, so our friends at Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's have a big Easter event coming up from April 13th to 21st, and you're going to want to check your local store for the details, or you're going to want to go to basspro.com or cabelas.com, but free pictures with the Easter Bunny. Do I need to say anything else?
We went to their Christmas event and it was really nice with the pictures with Santa, and then they also had the crafts that the kids could sit and do. And I have to say, like, we have 9-year-old boys who can be maybe, let's say, uninterested in some things.
Well, just
like
too
that.
Cool for school for 9-year-olds.
I was trying to be a little nicer.
Well, no. I mean, look, every 9-year-old boy can be too cool for some things.
That craft.
They had a lot of fun.
Wesley sat down and he started, and then they were like standing there like, can we do one too? And they sat down and they made the scenes, they were like the ornaments, and they had a lot of fun.
Wesley
doing
was
that.
Ready to go before they were.
Yeah.
They were working hard on their craft. And
they
then
were.
And then Wes, well, the whole family, we got a picture of Santa, and Wesley got a picture of Santa, and Wesley was like into it. He was excited.
So then, of course, you can always then throw in a little shopping for yourself for camping season coming up, whatever it is you need to kind of restock in the camping gear and the camping kit. So go ahead and have fun, and then also get a little shopping in. And it really is a nice event for the family on the weekend in the spring.
Just go get everybody a t-shirt and get a picture with the Easter Bunny and grab some gummy worms. Call it a day.
All right. To find out the information at the local store near you, go to basspro.com or cabelas.com. It's in your nature.
So big news, everybody. The RVFTA spring merch shop is open. And it is open for a limited time, and then it will close down for a very, very long time. And that's not a sales pitch. That's just the way we have to do merch. So what is the window for purchasing RVFTA hoodies, t-shirts, stickers, clings, magnets, and flags? And
well, there's
stuff.
More. Lots more stuff in there. All right. So here's the deal with the shop. We're opening the shop on April 7th, and it is closing on April 28th. Then what we do is we, you know, our merch person, who's a local person to us, she runs a small business in our town. She's going to do all of the merch, and she's going to start to ship it out on May 5th. She's going to start. So then it says, I think in the shop, it says like 3 weeks after, you know, up to 3 weeks after the merch shop closes, you should receive your stuff. So by the end of May, everybody should have their merch, and that's great. But here's what happens. At the end of May, everybody starts getting their flag, their customizable flag, which everybody loved last year. And then all of the other people on Facebook are like, wait, where did you get that? Can I get it? No. The shop only opens for a brief window of time, and you have to make hay.
And when you say the customizable flag, you can put, it's an RVFTA flag with your family name on it or whatever you want to put on it. And people will start posting pictures in RVFTA, the group on Facebook, and you will be sad.
Yeah.
And the mugs came out great. The hats came out great. Hats are going to be super limited.
Very limited.
Super
run.
Limited this time. But then lots of t-shirts, hoodies. Do we have baby onesies?
Yes. So there's a couple of new things based on demand. So first of all, a lot of women asked me for tank tops. So we do have some three really nice tank top options. I think we picked out good ones in the shop. We're picky about this. I want you to know that I'm very picky about cut. So, you know, my merch woman, she has samples for everything, and we sit there and we go through it and we see what the cut is, we see what the fabric is. I'm really happy with what we had in the shop last time t-shirt wise. I wear my RVFTA t-shirt to the gym on the daily. You know,
I just realized you didn't invite me to the merch meeting this year.
No, because you get off task.
I'm like pens.
Yeah.
I'm like beer cozies.
The merch meeting was a little more efficient because you weren't there.
I want all the ridiculous stuff.
Yeah. So we did add tank tops. We also added baby onesies, which I'm really excited about. And because the boys asked for hoodies, we added kid hoodies.
I'm excited
they
about that because they've been asking us for a year for kids'
yeah,
hoodies.
They were like a little bummed that we didn't have that in the shop last time. And then, of course, there are doggy items. doggy sweatshirts, collars, a tag, so many doggy items.
I think our RVFTA audience, I think like typically they say half of all RV owners have a dog. I think it's higher among our audience.
We'll see if anybody wants. I thought let's put it in there and see. She's just paired up with a vendor, a dog wear wardrobe vendor that she has said had really nice stuff. So I said, well, let's throw it in and see if anybody wants it.
Did Maggie approve of all the items?
Maggie's going to get a sweatshirt.
Next year, are we going to have cat stuff?
There's a hooded sweatshirt for the doggies. It's hysterical.
Do you think a cold morning walk, that would be nice?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maggie always, suffers very nicely for me. She wears her Halloween costume every year,
Now, if you spend $100, we're going to give you a free sticker or a free cling.
Yeah, or I think a free sticker, cling, or magnet.
Let's do the magnets. We got magnets.
It's already in there. We've got all three. You get to pick one. And there is a limited quantity on the hats, the stickers, and the magnets. So if you want those, you want to get in fast. If you want a hat, you really want to get in fast. We had last time they went on back order from the company, and they were the last thing to ship. And everybody was like, where's my hat? And it was just such an emotional
The hats took forever. Poster. They came, but they did. Look, I mean.
But
some things are beyond our control.
I'm like, I can't go through it again.
The making of these hats was beyond our control. Yeah. Now, if you spend over $1,000, we'll call you personally and thank you. And we'll plan a summer RV trip for you, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I mean, would you do that
if
somebody spend $1,000 on merch?
I don't think anybody wants
actually, don't do that.
Please don't do that.
Don't spend that much money
Send
on
your
merch.
Kid to college. I don't know.
Put it in a college account.
All right, everybody. But if you are looking for a trip and you want us to plan one for you, I'm glad you just listened to the Kentucky Bourbon Trail with Kate Dunbar.
What an episode.
I think that'll be fine for everybody.
What an episode. Thanks again, everybody. To Kate.
See you at the campground.
See you at the campground.